and we're live. So today we're starting a, well, what was going to be a three-week series that's already turned into a four-week series called Reconnaissance, Unmasking Satan's Strategies. What happened is this: I started the message for today and I realized I really couldn't do justice to the setup of why I feel like we need this message and this series, but also to fully share the point that I wanted to share today. So right now we're at least 4 weeks long, and as we go, we'll see if more weeks are needed, because I'm not just going to rush through this, just say, well, it was a series we did. I want the Holy Spirit to have time to speak to your hearts and really hear the Word of God on this, because our reconnaissance is from the Word of God. In fact, you may hear some things today that you may have heard about Satan, and you may go, well, I thought that was true, and you may find something was said that isn't necessarily true, or at least we don't have Word of God documentation. You understand? Now, know this, is not a devil glorifying teaching, whatever. I'm not elevating him. But what I want to accomplish is to get a better understanding of our enemy so we can stand up against his strategies and his tactics that he uses against us. Now, the word reconnaissance, I just want you to kind of understand this as I use it, is a military term meaning an observation of a region to locate an enemy or ascertain strategic features. So our reconnaissance, like I said, is from the Word of God. We're going to ascertain information regarding Satan and his strategies that he uses to attempt to defeat us. Now, I believe this is important because we as the people of God need to understand that, first of all, through Christ, we have been set free from the power of Satan. And now we're part of the kingdom of God. But I also know that Satan has not given up attacking our lives as believers. Just because you became a believer, in fact, because you are a believer, his attacks will come. Listen to Paul as he writes to the church of Colossae. Colossians 1, verse 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened with his glorious power. Why? So you will have all the endurance and patience you need, because the enemy is going to attack. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. That joy part, just for a moment, is, man, look around the room. How many are you seeing that are really smiling? I'm telling you, the enemy will come to rob your joy. And he'll come to rob your thanksgiving. But we're always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. I'm telling you, there's a part of this I'm going to preach today. I'm not just going to talk to you, because you need to really, it needs to get in your spirit. And I told the staff before this morning, I said, I cannot rabbit trail today, but I'm already rabbit trailing, because you've got to hear this. Share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That's a moment to say amen and glory to God and hallelujah and shout to the Lord because of what he's done in us and for us. Church, we were once part of the kingdom of darkness. And whether you really believe that or not, you need to know that. So that is, it was Satan's dominion. Whether you thought you were serving him or not, you were. Now, we have been delivered from that darkness and transferred into this kingdom of God. And God wants to strengthen you with power so you can endure. He wants you to be faithful and following in the kingdom of light now. And so if we're going to do that, we need to know the traps the tactics of the kingdom of the darkness, so those things do not confuse us and draw us back into a sinful lifestyle. Now, Satan would love to convince you that he's not real. In fact, that is one of his greatest deceptions. But I hope you know the devil is real. In fact, you're going to hear it from Scripture today. And we know he's not some little guy in a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork and horns and such. He's not that. But church, understand, this is important. There is a spiritual battle going on every day between the forces of good and the forces of evil, between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of what? Of where? The unseen world." Against, I want you to really hear this, mighty powers. Oh, I didn't realize he had that much. They are mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. And that's why Paul goes on in that scripture and says, you need to put on the armor of God. You see, Jesus came so we could be set free from the power of Satan. In fact, here again in 1 John 3:8, what the disciple John says, he says, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. How many like that scripture? It's truth. Who has been, and listen, belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus did that so we could have life and we could have a life abundantly. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, listen to Jesus' words. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And for us to have that rich and satisfying life in Jesus Christ our Savior, we need to understand the enemy and his tactics, so we can put the guards up in place and protect our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. And so what are we going to do? We're going to do some reconnaissance today, looking into God's word and what it tells us about our enemy so we can live more effectively for God. Amen. Amen. Lord, would you help us as we look into your word today, as we want to learn about our enemy, to learn of his strategies, his tactics, and so you can teach us how to stand firm. Lord, how to lift up the shield of faith. Lord, how to draw upon the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, so we can fight off those attacks and live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us, I pray. Amen. All right. Let me start by giving you a little backstory from God's word about Satan. Again, I want to start by clarifying that there are several names in Scripture that refer to Satan. The name Satan itself literally means adversary. He is the adversary. He's the one who is against you and against God. He's also known as the day star or the morning star. And from the Hebrew, we find this, and it's in Latin, it's translated Lucifer. And that's why you find the name Lucifer in the King James translation in Isaiah. Most of you have probably heard that name. But I want you to know that's a name that Satan has stolen, because Jesus is the real morning star. Okay? He's also known as, let me just walk through them, the devil, the anointed cherub, the tempter, Beelzebub, the evil one, the enemy, the father of lies, the ruler of this world, the god of this age, an angel of light, the ruler of the air, the great dragon, and the ancient serpent, and a few more. Now, from what we understand in Scripture, we believe that Satan was created as an angel in heaven. Actually, there are only a couple of scriptures that refer to this. Matthew 25:41, where Jesus says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels,'" making reference to Satan as the leader of these angels. Then we have Revelation 12:9, which tells us the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. These scriptures lead us to believe that he was some type of angel in heaven. Now, some have declared that he was an archangel. I believe even in my past, I may have said that, but in honesty, I could not find a scripture that tells us that. There's a scripture that refers to him as being the anointed cherub angel. Whatever kind of angel he was created by God. But a problem occurred in Satan's heart while he was in heaven. We read about it in Ezekiel 28, verse 12. The second half says, "You were the seal of perfection." I want you to hear some of these things. He was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering: the sardis, the topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created." Verse 14, "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." And then verse 17 goes on and says, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty." Now listen to this. "You corrupted your wisdom." I want you to understand that. I wasn't going to go deep into this, but I was talking a little bit with staff. You have to understand, he didn't lose his wisdom. He corrupted his wisdom. And that's why you're going to hear everything he does is corrupted. "And he did it for the sake of your splendor," it said. Isaiah records the pride that was in Satan's heart. Isaiah 14, "How you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning." That's where the name Lucifer comes from. "You have been thrown down to earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, 'I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north.'" Verse 14, "I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High." At some point, Satan actually became jealous of God or of the worship of God. And so pride rose up in his heart because of his beauty, because of those things. And essentially, Satan began to pit himself against God. Why? Because he wanted to be like God. And when he did that, God cast him down from heaven. And Satan took a third of the angels with him. Revelation recounts the story of what happened. Revelation 12. "Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels." So why does this matter? Well, you need to understand something important. Because you were created in the image of God. You're going to hear this come back this morning. Because you were created in the image of God, and Satan hates God, Satan is going to continually come after you. Listen to verse 17 of Revelation 12. It says, "And the dragon was angry at the woman." Now, when you read through Scripture, it's trying to understand what that is, but I believe the woman is Israel, or really the church, the people of God. But listen to what happened. "He was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children," those who were being born again, "all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus." The bottom line here is this: the church keeps bringing people to Jesus. People are getting born again, and they begin to follow God's word and live with a testimony for Jesus, and Satan hates it. So he is at war with those who are holding testimony of what Jesus has done in their life. Church, it is not if he will attack. I am telling you, he is already attacking and will continue to attack until he is finally dealt with by God Almighty in the end. So over these next few weeks, I want to help arm you and equip you with how to stand firm against these attacks. And to do so, we have to unmask those strategies. Now listen, the enemy would not want you to hear this today. You online, you in the church. Why? He's going to do everything he can to keep you from hearing this. In fact, just wait and see what distractions come up over the next 3 to 4 weeks in your life. You just wait and see, because he's going to bring them up. I'm telling you, don't let those deter you from being in the house of the Lord or catching up on these messages about our reconnaissance of who the enemy is and what his strategies are. So some of the thoughts I'm going to be sharing with you today, though, come from a book called The Strategy of Satanists by Warren Wiersbe. I recommend it. It goes into much more detail. It's full of scripture. It's an excellent book. But I want to help you understand where I'm heading over the next several weeks. Today, I'm going to begin, and next week I'll wrap it up, but Satan, who is the deceiver. Again, I'm going to read it to you again, Revelation 12, 9. "This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan," listen, "the one what doing what? Who? The whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels." We need to understand Satan is a deceiver. He attacks your mind with lies. Next week, I'm going to wrap this up, and because I need to talk to you about the power and the authority of God's word. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about Satan, who is the accuser. He attacks your heart with accusations. He says things like, "You'll never be good enough for God." He accuses you on and on and on. The following message, I want to address Satan, who is the destroyer. He's a destroyer, and he will attack your will, and he does it with pride. Church, Satan is a deceiver. He attacks your mind with lies. The accuser attacks your heart with accusations, and the destroyer who attacks your will with pride. Now, I know I've spent a good bit of time already and a lot of setup, but it's important for you to know who our adversary is. Amen? All right, let me move to my first point. Satan, who is the deceiver. This is what Jesus said about Satan in John 8:44. He said, "You are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things he does." And he goes on, "He was a murderer from the beginning. He is always," and listen, Who is speaking this? I just need to slow down enough. Jesus, who is the way, the and the life. The truth is speaking here so that you don't misunderstand. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth. Why? He was there, but when it was found that there was iniquity in him, it was always there. Because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, I'm not just saying this. This is Jesus, the truth, who's helping us understand who our enemy is. Church, anytime Satan speaks, he lies. He cannot speak the truth. He always lies. This was his very first strategy when attacking Eve in the Garden of Eden. We're going to see he actually attacks the authority of God's word, and he does it with a lie. In the Garden of Eden, Satan comes to Eve, and he does so in the physical form of a serpent. And he begins to attack Eve's mind and her thinking by attacking what God has said. Now think about it. There's a lot of different ways that the serpent could have tried to attack Eve. He could have preyed on maybe her insecurity. He could have said, well, Adam really doesn't love you. In fact, all he wants to do is spend time in his man cave. In fact, I think I heard him say he wants a rib back. Do not underestimate the different ways that the enemy will lie to you. Church, there's so many different ways the enemy could have attacked, but there's ways he wants to attack you, and he'll do so with a lie. And that's why we're doing this reconnaissance, so we can really understand those methods. And the method with Eve was to actually attack God's word, and he did it in two different ways. The first thing the deceiver did was this. The deceiver questioned God's word. Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, he asked the woman, did God really say, you must not eat the fruit, now catch the lie in here too, from any of the trees of the garden? I want you to notice the first attack. Did God really say? Notice that the deceiver did not deny that God has spoken. Instead, he just questions what God spoke. And within this question, he begins to create doubt, and he does so with a lie. You must not eat of the fruit from any of the trees in the garden. So already, he's questioning and misrepresenting what God said. That's what the deceiver does today with us. He'll try to question or plant seeds of doubt in you about what God has said in his word. Maybe the question will come to you like this. Do you really believe exactly what the Bible says about creation? I mean, surely you're smarter than that. I mean, you cannot be naive enough to think that there was a creator that just spoke and everything began to exist. Surely your intellectual thoughts are higher than that, and you can believe it. But listen, everything kind of went boom, and it exploded, and that's how everything began to exist. Or maybe it was, God really didn't mean what he said about creation. That was for them back then, not for you. I mean, hundreds of years ago, that's what they needed to hear. But this is 2020. We've evolved past that kind of thinking. And that's how Satan begins to question God's word. And if you listen to him, he will try to get you then to question God's word. Church, I still completely believe in Genesis 1. Why? Because God said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we cannot begin to listen to the lies and the deceptions that the world will throw at us. And I'll tell you this, if you do not believe Genesis 1:1, then why in the world would you believe anything else in God's word? God's word is completely true. And with regret, Eve listened to Satan. And she started to question God's word. Let me show you why I believe this is true. Listen to what God says in Genesis 2:16 and 17. But the Lord God warned him. He was speaking to Adam, and Adam would have relayed this to Eve. In fact, I'm not even sure Eve might have been there at that moment. But listen to what God says. You may freely, now this is an important thought, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Now, I want you to hear what Eve says in chapter 3, because I believe she leaves out a key word. Genesis 3, chapter 2, or chapter 3, verse 2. Of course, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. But church, she left out the word freely. Everybody say freely. God said you may eat freely from all these trees. Eat from that tree and this tree and that one and that one and that one. But not this one tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat freely from everything else. Listen, there is freedom for you in the garden. And you are blessed to eat from so many trees, but just not this one. But when Eve is in dialogue with the devil, she left out that key word freely. And she got deceived in her mind, and it was implied, God is holding out on you. You're not, because she's already lost that freedom that she was given. There's something that was missing out on. In fact, making her think, it must be that what God said no to might be the very thing I want that really brings fulfillment to me. You see the deception? It took over. I want you to know, listen to this. Did you know you have everything you need in Jesus Christ? Listen to Peter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. By his divine power, everybody say divine power. Not your power, his power. By his divine power, God has given us what? Everything we need for living a godly life. He has not withheld anything. He is good. He is perfect. He is watching over you. It says we have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises, now listen, that enable you to share in his divine nature. And what? We get to share in the divine nature of God. And what? Do what? Escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. What's your human desire? I get deceived into thinking the world has something more to offer, when God has given us everything we need. So we need to listen to God and live according to his word and let those human desires, those deceptions that the world brings to us say, wait a minute, I've got everything I need. In the garden, God had given them everything they needed. You understand that? But Eve got deceived. And in that moment, Eve started to question, really, the goodness of God. And by the way, when that happens, it becomes easier to disobey God. In fact, let me make this statement. When you start to question the goodness of God, can you get that statement up there for me? When you start to question the goodness of God, it is easier to disobey the will of God. If you don't believe he's good, then you don't begin to do what he tells us to do. The moment Satan started to question God's word, she began wondering, God, are you really good? And it was the first thing Satan did. The deceiver questioned God's word. A second thing Satan did, the deceiver twisted God's word. Now Eve said, we can eat from any tree except that one or we're going to die. And the enemy comes right back in Genesis 3, 4, and 5 and lies and with deception. Are you ready? Verse 4, you won't die. That just sounds like a lie to me. According to what God said, the serpent replied to the woman. Verse 5, listen, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Satan said, you will be like God. Now, did you realize this is exactly what Satan wanted before he fell? He wanted to be like God. Hear it again in Isaiah 14, 14. I'll climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High. Satan wanted to be like God. He's deceiving you and thinking you want to be like God. But what's interesting about this, I want you to see, is that he's twisting the word of God. Did you know Adam and Eve were already created, listen, in the image of God? Think about it. And by the way, Adam has to be included in all this because just a few verses down, we find out Adam was with Eve this whole time while Satan was deceiving her. But do you understand Adam and Eve were already a reflection of the very heart of God? Genesis 1:27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God had already created Adam and Eve in his likeness, in his image. And yet the serpent comes along and twists and deceives Eve's thinking, lying to her, making her question, am I really in the image of God? If God said it, it's true. And that's what the enemy does to us today. Over and over and over, he'll twist God's word. God says God is love. How many believe the Bible says God is love? It's in John, 1 John. And it's completely true. But the enemy will come along and he'll twist it. He'll say God is love, so you can do whatever you want. It's your life. And God wants you to be happy, right? So you can do whatever makes you happy. But that's where we need to understand Scripture. Romans 14, Paul says, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. Did you know when you die, you're going to be honoring the Lord? The Bible says that God says in the Old Testament, he says the death of his saints is precious in the eyes of God. When you die, you're honoring the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So church, God is love, but that doesn't mean I can just do anything I want because I already have everything I need to live right before God and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with my life. But that's how Satan comes and attacks the authority of God's word. Pastor James, would you come? Here's what I hope some of you will understand, and And what I'm about to say is not a tactic to scare you in any way. But we, the people of God, are under attack or will be under attack by Satan. The evil one wants to come after you and your family. We don't talk a lot about this. We talk about God's love. But you need to understand, because you have a testimony of Jesus, we have an enemy. Let me use an illustration. If someone breaks into your home and you're there, what do you think you're going to do? Are you going to sit up in your bedroom going, boy, I sure hope they don't go after my children. And I hope they don't come in this room. Absolutely not. As much as we might have fear, all of a sudden you're going to say, I'm going to protect my house. And I'm going to protect my family. You're going to be like, this is my house, this is my family. And whoever you are, you don't have a right to be here. And that's what we need to do with Satan. Not in my house, not in my family. Satan, you have no place here. I will not allow you to break into my life and lie and steal and destroy my family. So I'm going to fight back in the name of Jesus. In fact, I'm going to fight back in the name that is above every name. The name at which every demon has to flee. I fight in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I know who I am in Christ. And I know what I have in Christ. For I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in me. So church, we've got to rise up against the enemy. And we've got to know the word of God and use it to defend our lives and the lives of our family. Next week, this is where I'm going to pick up, because I need to finish and help you understand how we're going to defend against the deceiver. I spent a lot of time talking about the foe, but I can't just talk about his schemes and not help you fight against those schemes. So know this. Satan is a deceiver. He'll question God's word. He will twist God's word. But next week, we're going to look at how to defend ourselves. So you don't want to miss it. You do not want to miss it. Why? Because I want you to know Jesus is the truth. If you've not put your faith in Jesus as your Savior today, whether you're a tender or online, I want you to know Satan will lie to you. Here's what he'll say. It's just a religious thing. I'm telling you this morning, it's a relationship thing. God wants a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And for those only you know in your heart that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and say you need to come into the family. You need to learn this so you can find that protection, because you've been listening to the lies long enough. And he invites you to be born again. In fact, the old it will be gone and the new will come. If that's you this day and say, I want Christ in my life. I need his grace. I need that kind of forgiveness. I'm going to ask you to pray with me today. And I'm going to ask everyone, would you pray with me? Everybody with me. Heavenly Father, I give you my life. Jesus, save me from my sin. And fill me with the Holy Spirit. Teach me your word. And direct my steps every day, so I can follow you faithfully. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I pray if you've done that today, share it with somebody. If you're online, share it with somebody. If you're here, share it with somebody. Why? Because we need to be family now. And we're going to fight together. because you're not alone. We're not alone. Amen? Heavenly Father, as we go this week, and I know the enemy will attack. I know he'll try. There's other tactics that we're going to talk about. But Lord, this week, I pray that our minds will be really clear and will not be deceived by a lie of the enemy. So Lord, protect our minds this week. They're going to be like greenhouses. We're going to guard what comes into that greenhouse. We don't want weeds in there. We want truth in there so that it can grow and be healthy. So God, help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled week. And I know I ran a little over today, and I'm going to probably do it in every service, but I'm telling you, we've got to lay this foundation. Amen? Amen. God bless you, and walk with the Lord this week.